and they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and led him down through the tiling with his crutch into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thy house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. And with this reading, we trust the Lord will bless to us his holy word. If you were to take time, my friend, to read the whole of this chapter, you would discover that it is one of the busiest days in the life of the Master, the Savior, the Lord Jesus. I often read it and delight to do so, because if I required any confirmation of a rather isolated passage in the Old Testament, then this passage would supply what I may need, but really, I don't need it in that sense. In Proverbs chapter 8 and in verse 31, we listen to wisdom, and that of course is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says that his delights were with the sons of men. And here is a chapter, my unsaved friend, tonight that substantiates that statement. For here you see the Lord Jesus bringing blessing to all kinds of people. And I'd like to summarize them for you in this meeting, knowing that there are those that would need what the Lord was giving at this time. The chapter opens with a man convicted. Now that is what is absolutely necessary if blessing is going to be yours in the gospel. Without the conviction of sin, a realization of one's personal guilt before God, there will never be blessing. There cannot be blessing. For until you realize, dear friend, that you are lost and undone, then will you never cry for a Savior. Why is the life belt along the pier? In a box, perhaps, covered with glass, but there it is ready not for the person that passes by on terra firma. He never senses any need for a life belt of that nature. But as he moves down the pier head and suddenly trips and accidentally falls into the sea, and finds himself going down, then he will appreciate the provision of the life belt. Because it dawns upon him, he's going down. And unless that provision is within reach, he knows he'll be lost. He knows he will perish. Now, it's at that point, when a man realizes he's going down, that he will avail himself of the provision that God has made. And this we see in Peter. I'm a sinful man, O Lord. And those words are useful because they come out again in the Gospel of Luke. When a man stands before God, confessing his sin, smiting his breast, dropping his arm, using his lips, he cries, God, be merciful to me, sinner. And thus, a man convicted. The next incident is full of meaning and has a message for you too. The Lord meets a leper, and before he leads him, he's cleansed. That's good, isn't it? A man convicted, and now a man cleansed. Think of the loathsomeness of sin. Think of the awfulness of sin as a plague, as a disease, that cannot be stopped, that must eventuate not only in your death, but in your doom, defiling you to such an extent to deprive you of heaven forever. The Lord looked at the man, he touched him, and he was cleansed. Here is a man that is pure. In the next paragraph, a man is called. And the glorious thing about it is this, he responds to the call. Multitudes can listen to the gospel and turn a deaf ear to the message and never respond. But here was a man that when the Savior called him, he rose up, he left off, and he followed him. That's Matthew or Levi, whichever you will. And as the paragraph or the chapter ends, the Lord speaks a parable. And you know, he says that no man puts a new piece on an old garment. Neither does he put a patch on an old wineskin. What does he do? He knows that if he puts a new patch on an old cloth, it will eventually disintegrate and it will disappear. And so you see, friend, God doesn't do that. What does God do? God changes the man inwardly and outwardly. But you don't put old wine, new wine into an old bottle, says the Lord Jesus. The new wine must go into a new man. And that's conversion. There is a man change. And thus you can see the gospel is full in this chapter. And this is a full gospel chapter. I want you to think of the words of the Lord Jesus to the multitude, to these people. With this dear man in view that was carried by four into his very presence, was left down in all his helplessness, and in all his disability at the feet of the Savior. Do you know, dear friend, if I would pause a moment, I'd like to tell you this. That each night, faithful hearts beat in the room behind, and they would do what these four have done. If only they could do it, they would. In prayer and in exercise of heart, they're doing it. They're placing you, as it were, at the very feet of Christ for blessing. And all that we could bring you tonight, right to that Savior, right to that very person, that you might hear those words that fell upon the lips of this palsied man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Wouldn't that be the sweetest music your ear ever heard? Wouldn't that be the gladsome note that your soul really longs for if you were honest in the gospel meeting tonight? For while you might have millions and while you might have less than that, what you really need is not material goods or wealth or whatever. I think you know tonight that your greatest need is the forgiveness of all your sins. And only God can do that. This is what about the only right thing that these people said. They said, who can forgive sins but God alone? They're right, you know. The only thing was, these people refused to recognize that this was God in the midst. Excuse me, Paul. If their eyes were open to see if it was God manifest in flesh, that would have brought them immediate blessing. They were right. Now, friend, why is it that it's only God can forgive sin? You might sin against your employer. And you might sin against your wife. You might sin against your family. You might sin against the government. You might do all kinds of things, friend, but listen, all sin is against God. All sin is against God. And because all sin is against God, only God can forgive sin. Now, I want you to think of these words. I think there's no sweeter verse in the Bible, in the gospel, than this lovely verse for my soul tonight. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sin. I want you to get those words in your soul tonight. I love to concentrate on a verse of this dimension in gospel meetings. And I feel it's my responsibility betimes to get the Word of God into your very soul. And I make no apology of coming to these verses or to this verse and asking you to consider each syllable, each word. That something of the mighty, marvelous message of the gospel would reach your heart. And that you might know as you leave this building tonight for the first time, my sin, I forgive. Their multitudes would contest the messages we give nightly. Raw, friend. And they might even have a Bible under their arm. And they might even profess certain things. But their multitudes in the world tonight would say, this is one thing you cannot know. They're waiting for some other day when hopefully the matter of their sins will be graciously dealt with by God when He puts them on this side and some other good works on this side, and eventually He'll bring the thing to balance. Nothing could be further from the truth of the gospel. And so, friend, it is important tonight. Oh, it is absolutely essential that you get these words. But that ye may know. There is no secret. There is no mystery. There is nothing secluded in the gospel. It is opened. It is evident. It's as clear as the noonday sun. And the Lord makes it thus when He says, but that ye may know. Now what does that mean? That means this, friend, that you have to perceive clearly. And it means that you have to believe sincerely. What? That the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sin. Don't let any cloud mystify the clarity of the gospel. Don't let a shadow of doubt creep over the illuminating message of God's redeeming love, my sinner friend. God says, Christ says, the word of God is in your very ear, and it says that ye may know. In other words, God is not leaving you in the dark. He's bringing the illuminating power of His Word in the gospel to your soul. And He wants you to perceive. He wants you to believe. He wants you to receive the fact that His Son, God's well-beloved Son, has power on earth to forgive sin. Oh, that you would recognize this pardoning grace. Don't say you don't know. Don't excuse yourself by the claim you cannot understand. God would sweep away every obstacle and every cloud, and He would have you know that Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin. I think of this person as he utters these words. And what does he say? That ye may know that the Son of Man hath power. Now, that's a lovely word. But let me preach to you. And let me tell you something. In this chapter, there are two words for power. And they're used by Luke. First of all, in verse 17, here are the words. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. That's great, isn't it? Well now, what power is that? That is the power that the Lord uses because there is nothing can withstand the might of His power. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. Disease had to flee. The devils had to go. Darkness and blindness had to be dispelled. And even death fled from His presence. Why? The power of the Lord was present to heal. What does He say now? He said, that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power. How shall I illustrate it? Very simply. Brother Jim and I were returning from some meetings in Malacca a short while ago. And I said to him, Jim, watch this. As we were through the toll gate, I went right behind a slow-moving lorry. And zooming past were all these cars that were glad that I got out of the light. And I held to my slow speed on a open highway behind the lorry. He himself and I observed that a few miles down the road, all the cars that passed us were at the sign. How did they get there? Some of them going at 120 kilometers an hour. You stand out on the road and try to stop them, you're dead. You haven't got the power. You wouldn't even try, would you? But all that happened was a man like you or me stepped out and he simply put his hand upon him. He couldn't have stopped them if they'd got out in the middle of the road. At the rate they were going, they'd have mowed them into the ground. But that's not the word the Lord is using here. That's the word He used up the road a bit. Up the chapter. You see, the little man in the uniform had a family. Not power, in that sense. He couldn't have stopped those cars in his life. All he had to do was raise his hand, and the uniform indicated that's a policeman. What has he got? He's got a father. Got a father. Got authority to stop the speeding motors. Pull him into the side. It was a route. It was a speed trap. You see, that's what the Lord is saying. He says, I want you to know something. That the Son of Man has authority. Yeah? Authority. To forgive sin. Oh no. A good. It's not His might just now. But what I want to get to your soul tonight, friend, this is right. This is right. No one could put his hand to that right.
No one, dear friend, could imitate that authority. No one, dear friend, could dare to put himself alongside the saving, suffering Son of Man, for he only has it.
Why is that good? You don't let that in tonight, friend. The sins that are taking you lower than the grave, the sins that are going to banish your soul from God forever, the sins that you wouldn't want your dearest and nearest to know, the sins that are before the eye of God, the sins, dear friend, that's going to close you out of heaven for God's eternity, can be forgiven by one who has a thought to forgive. How could he say this?
Oh, I know, friend, I know what I've said already. He was God's beloved Son, and that gave him infinite authority as he stood that day.
But I want to tell you more, friend. That blessed one knew as well as he stood there, he was moving.
And he knew the moment would come when the Lord would meet to meet upon him something that was not his own.
And he was going to bear the burden of sin. He knew that. Friend, having done so now that I can tell you, the verse comes with meaning. I would say, friend, with meaning that your soul should respond to this moment of time, that you may know the Son of Man hath power, hath authority. Why? Because he suffered. You know, I would love you to listen to these words again, because you might ask yourself, who is this person? Well, we have been already so many nights in the past to that housetop, and we have listened to the Lord Jesus speaking to Nicodemus, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted. There he is, in his passion.
We heard this morning an introduction to our morning gathering that the Son of Man would be delivered into the hand of wicked men, betrayed into the hand of wicked men.
Think of us, Peter. Think of his people.
As I went through the Gospels today, I thought of the mentions that came to my mind of this blessed person, the Son of Man, has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So here it is. His passion, his pain, his purpose. His pardon, the Son of Man. Now get this next part of the verse in your soul. And this is vital. Not that you may know. Do you recognize it already, friend? Are you prepared to accept it unreservedly?
I hope you are.
That the Son of Man has authority,
a right. If he said to forgive sins, you know, there'd be no problem, and we would recognize it, and we would accept it, but he puts in some words that brings the realm of his forgiveness to view on earth. On earth. Now what does it mean, in a word? If you die in a meeting tonight, friend, before we could reach you, be in here. And the day will come when death and hell will give up the dead which are in them. And you'll stand before the great white throne. I'm going to say it reverently. Are you listening carefully? He has no authority then to forgive sin.
You hear that? Well, he didn't say that. He just didn't say the Son of Man of power to forgive sin. He makes it clear to you the realm of his power on earth. On earth. Once you leave this seen man, once you leave this seen woman, that authority for forgiveness is no longer him.
Have you thought of these words again? That the Son of Man hath power, hath authority on earth to forgive sins? That good? I illustrated by quoting three passages of Scripture. Do listen carefully. When it comes to this matter of forgiveness, we want to make it sweet, and we want to make it clear, and we want to make it real, and how better than to quote the Word of God. And you listen to it. What does one man say in the Word of God? He said, "Let us put all my sins behind his back." What's that? Out of sin. And you know, friend, it's a most torturous thing to have a look at your sin. Isn't it? What must it be for God to be looking at? But you know, it's a great source of peace to realize this, that he has put my sins behind his back. What does that mean? You never see them.
And then another man in the book of God says this, that he has put our sins in the depths of the sea.
What does that mean? Out of reach. Out of reach. Put them away down there. That's a figure of language of the range of this forgiveness.
Out of sight.
Behind his back.
Out of reach.
In the depths of the sea. You know, I thank God for those verses, brethren. Hope you do. I'm sure you do. And here's one that I never cease to give God thanks for. You listen to me. Sinner friends. Oh, that he would say it to you. Oh, that you would let him say it to you now. Thy sins and iniquities will I remember no more forever. Out of sight, that's good.
Out of reach, that's better.
Then
out of mind,
that's the best. That's the best. Little friend, I have to tell you something. Even though I'm a forgiven soul tonight, I remember my sins. And he doesn't. He has an ability that I don't have to put them out of mind. This is what he's offering to you tonight in his Son, that ye may know, that you may come to recognize for the first time that the Son of Man, bless you, hath authority on earth to forgive sin.